talk about now, following that lovely presentation, of what we did to overcome some barriers to offer rapid testing and sustain rapid testing in a hospital-wide system. I'm from Pennsylvania, which is one of the red low compatibility states that Anish just spoke about, and we also are one of the highest ranked, sixth ranked in the United States for HIV prevalence. So we've definitely had barriers that we've overcome, actually, and we've worked around, and I think that I don't really think our law is going to change, but I think there's a lot of people in our state who are very strong in wanting to keep it that way for in terms of patient rights issues. But I think there are ways that we can get around that law and be creative. Just to give a little background about Philadelphia, there's 12,000 persons living with AIDS. We have just started doing HIV counting at this point. Because I'm going to be talking about what we've done in the delivery room, I just want to point out that of infants exposed to HIV, there was a 5% maternal child health transmission rate in 2005 and no transmission in 2006, and that 25 to 30% of pregnant women who were diagnosed with HIV were diagnosed during the prenatal period, and 2 to 5% of them were diagnosed during labor. And this program takes place at Hahnemann University, which is part of Drexel University College of Medicine. I'm from an HIV clinic called the Partnership Clinic, which is a very large, comprehensive adult HIV clinic. We have over 1,500 patients. And we treat people from zip codes that have the highest prevalence of AIDS and STDs in the Philadelphia area. So we set out goals for a hospital-wide sustainability HIV testing policy, and our goals were that at every interface within the hospital system, an HIV test will be offered in an opt-out model, that hospital-wide staff will be comfortable offering and giving test results, and that this normalization of testing will help destigmatize HIV testing so that our patients in the HIV clinic will be very comfortable when interfacing with the hospital, that we identify positive patients early in the disease process and link them into care, and that all our grant-funded HIV testing positions eventually will be sustained, that we build in sustainability from the start so that there's not dependence on grant funding to have this program. So if you're considering doing a testing model, these are some of the things that need to be considered. Who will offer the test, and how will testing be offered, either targeting high-risk patients or doing it on an opt-out basis? How will patients be provided the informed consent? Our state, of course, we have to do informed consent. How will patient education and counseling be provided? What test assays will be used, and where will the test be performed, in the lab or as point of care on the floor or in the clinic? Who will deliver the test? Will it be the docs, the nurses, the medical assistants, or a special HIV counselor? And what resources are available to sustain these initiatives, and how will linkage to care be followed once the positive test is identified? So we've been successful in using testing models in four places, and we had different models for each place because each place was unique, had a unique clinical setting. So the delivery room, we used the DOC model where the OB physicians and residents perform the counseling, and the lab does the test. In our OBGYN family planning clinic, it's an MA doc model where the MAs offer the test in the triage room when a blood pressure and the temperature is done, an HIV test is offered at the same time to every patient who walks in, and then the results are given by the OBGYN midwives, docs, or residents. In the ER, we have a counselor model. Right now, we're at the beginning of instituting HIV in the ER, so we do have a grant-funded position, but the idea is to have it sustained by the people who work in the ER. And in our HIV clinic, we have a family planning clinic within our HIV clinic, and the family planning counselor does the testing of partners in our clinic. So the delivery room, we started... in 2000, actually, getting testing in a delivery room, and we pulled together an advisory committee, and this advisory committee we've used throughout for each model that we've developed, and now in the ER we reconvene this advisory committee. And it took quite a bit of work to get this advisory committee to have time to meet together, and it took 6 months to a year to develop the delivery room program. So we included department chairs of OBGYN, IDHIV, neonatology, and then the referring pediatric hospital, which is St. Christopher's Hospital for Children, where the infants go. We had the director of lab on board, risk management, the legal department, CQI, forms committee. There was quite a few people on this, and including the Pennsylvania Mid-Atlantic AETC, which was very helpful in developing trainings and our brochures and pamphlets that we developed, and then the Circle of Care, which is the Title IV funding agency in Philadelphia that funded us to do this. We did a needs assessment and the prenatal and the postpartum unit, and we found that 92% of the women would accept HIV testing during labor. And this is in 2000, before really testing was, rapid testing was available. We decided we wanted opt-out testing for all women who present to the DR with no prenatal care or who have no documented HIV result on the chart. And our goal was that all women would have been tested and know their HIV status before the delivery or before they leave the hospital. So in 2002 is when we finally started the testing. We've done 600 rapid tests. We have about 10 patients who come to our delivery with no prenatal care. There's about 2,200 deliveries per year. We started doing the ELISA test because we started before the rapid test was available, and there was a turnaround time between 2 to 6 hours. With the OraQuick now, there's less than an hour turnaround time, so it's enough time to get the ACT hung and start intervening if there's a positive test. We've had 8 positive tests plus 2 false positives, and they were the ELISA, they weren't the OraQuick. It gives us a 1.5 seropositivity rate, and we had unfortunately one newborn who did have who did have transmission. And this just shows that over time we've had sustainable testing done. The last 2007 data is just 9 months of testing shown. So we are capturing all the people who walk into the emergency to the delivery room with no prenatal care, and the residents now are starting to test people who have no test on their chart, and they're just doing that with their own initiative, which is great that they've decided to forward this initiative on their own. The challenge we had in the DR was nurses buy-in. There was an unstable nursing staff when we started. Lots of per diem nurses, so they didn't have buy-in. We had lots of turnover of the director of nurse, of the head nurse in the delivery room. We had to be really creative how we did trainings. I went in at 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. a lot of times just to train the nursing staff with the different shifts. Getting records from prenatal clinic to the delivery room is very challenging. And getting buy-in from private doctors' offices to OB offices to test their patients. So we had a lot of patients showing up with no HIV test on their chart or no charts that show they had the HIV test. The lab was very supportive. We had a great lab. They came in on call when we first started this at night just to do the ELISA test. To start the machine, it takes 4 hours to warm it up and have the test done. And they were very committed to this and on their own just decided to have on-call people to make sure that at night there was coverage. Now that we have the rapid test, of course, they don't need to do that. So that was a great relief once rapid testing was approved. And so what the HIV team did, you really need a champion to start programs, and the HIV team was the champion. We organized the advisory committee. We obtained funding so that we could support the program development. We helped move through all the lab issues. We're on call 24 hours a day. If there's any positive tests, we're there on call. We won't go in, but we're on call to support them, and we'll be there the next morning. We worked with the pharmacy to make sure that liquid AZT was available to all patients, all infants before they leave the hospital. And we have our HIV social worker rounds on all patients that have a positive test. And this model has been successfully sustained. The OBGYN residents have been just wonderful on their own now championing this. They do give the test while people are in labor. It's not a problem to them. They're comfortable with it. And because of the success in the DR, we've been able to implement a similar model in the emergency room. So the next place that we decided to work was in the Women's Care Center, which is an OBGYN family planning clinic. We started this in September of 2003. We've done 2,500 tests were done by our grant-funded HIV counselor. We have a 1.5 seropositivity rate of total clients tested, but 7.5% seropositivity rate of walk-ins. And for the clinic population, it's a 0.5%. So this family planning clinic is similar to other family planning seropositivity rates in the United States. We have, in April of 2007, we transitioned from our funded counselor to having the clinic staff do the testing, and our funded counselor has cut way back. They've done 700 tests since they started in April. They've had four positives, two were pregnant and two were family planning patients, and they have a 0.6 positivity rate in the clinic, and they've been fabulous just championing this, taking this on, so that every single patient who walks into the women's care clinic gets an HIV test offered. So what changed was that we had a dedicated HIV counselor, and now we have in-house medical assistants who do the test. It used to be done in a waiting room or an exam room, and now the test is done in the triage room. We have the testing consent integrated into our general clinic consent for services, and I'll show you the consent in a minute. It's very abbreviated. The medical assistants give the test, but the clinicians give the results. So the challenges as we had in the this women's care center was there was lack of time to consent and perform HIV testing. The medical assistants were very concerned about how they were going to do this, and they were very fearful about giving positive results. We had a great support from the clinic director, which I think in any place you start HIV testing, if you have support from the director, that's a clear way to enter to have a successful program. And we did training. We partnered with our local AETC and with the Family Planning Council that gave us a lot of support in training the medical assistants how to do the rapid test. We, because of the fears were so overwhelming of the medical assistants, we had the medical residents give the results. And these are the same residents that give results in the delivery room. So they're very comfortable giving HIV results. Billing, we've had lots of challenges with billing because as we pulled back our funded support, we wanted to make sure that insurance billing codes were correct, and we finally have got it down to where the test and the counseling is covered, so it's not taking extra time that's not billed for the staff. So then we moved into the emergency room, and this is a flyer that we have. I just have a copy of it up here. It's in every corner and every wall of the waiting room. So the patients are told we offer HIV testing. If you want it, just let us know. And we offer it to every single person who walks into the emergency room. These are our rapid testers extraordinaire. They're fabulous. They go out into the waiting room. In our waiting room, there's 12 to 24 hour waits in our waiting room. It's just an unbelievable amount of volume of patients, and they walk out there and they say, "Hello, I'm an HIV tester. Does anyone want an HIV test? Just let me know. I'll be talking to you when you come back." And they make people feel very comfortable and normalize the test. So the benefits of testing in an emergency department is that the emergency rooms serve as the nation's medical safety net. They guarantee accessible health services for underserved and uninsured. 110 million patients visit emergency departments a year, and a high proportion of them do not access primary care. 50 to 80% of newly HIV diagnosed patients have had an ED visit within the prior year. Rapid testing eliminates the need for a return visit. So our emergency room did not offer HIV testing to any patient before April of this year because they had no way to give the results to them, which was just a it's just a boon that we're able to have the rapid test and the results can be given the same day. It's been found that patients who are diagnosed in the emergency room and then hospitalized have a shorter visit than patients who are diagnosed in the hospital. And we're able to detect earlier HIV earlier in the course of disease, decreasing secondary HIV transmission and getting people into care. So we reinstituted the advisory committee using the DR experience. We got support from the hospital leadership because we already had a successful program in the delivery room. We've had grant support that will last 2 years, and we've built in capacity building from the beginning. So from the beginning, we've made ways to transition this to the ER staff so that as we leave, they'll take over the testing. And the HIV clinic is right across the street from the emergency room, so we hope that the linkage to care will be smooth. So we've offered almost 600 tests since April. There's been 85% accepted the HIV test, and 100% have received their results. We've had 7 confirmed positives, which is a 1.4 seropositivity rate, but only 2 people have kept medical appointments, and that's been our biggest challenge right now because most of the people that that have been positive don't have addresses or phone numbers, correct addresses or phone numbers that we can follow them up with. The testing takes 5 minutes and 30 seconds, about 2 minutes to do the consent and 3 minutes to do the counseling. This is our revised informed consent. We use this all over the hospital now. This is the way we got around Act 148, which requires informed consent. We hand the patients a sheet of paper with everything on it that's required by Act 148, which is our Pennsylvania law, and then we have them sign that they've read it and that they understand it. And so that's how it's a very quick, short consent, and it's incorporated into all the consents that patients have to sign. We also have now 24-hour lab coverage, so when we're not there, we're there 10 hours a day. When we're not there, the physicians can order the test themselves, send it to the lab, and there's a 1-hour turnaround time similar to the delivery room. And then lastly, we have doing partner testing in our HIV clinic, and this is done by our family planning counselor. We have Title 10 family planning dollars that come into our HIV clinic. We have integrated family planning services, so our family planning counselor tests partners. We've had 11 positive partners, and all of them have been linked into care. So just in review, the barriers that we've had to overcome is the state regulations, which we've created the streamlined consent. We've gotten buy-in from the hospital. We've done the CLIA licensing for all the units that that we've done the testing in. And we've had this modified consent for the rapid turnover that's seen, especially in the emergency room and the delivery room. In terms of patient barriers, we've trained all our HIV counselors in stages of change model so that we can acknowledge people's fears and address where they are in their stages of change. And we have implemented standardized routine testing that's not based on risk. And the linkage to care has been the biggest challenge. We have a rapid response team. The HIV team meets the patient at the time of diagnosis so that there's a familiar face with the HIV department, and then the results are given in the HIV clinic 2 weeks later. We make sure the patients have an appointment before they leave the hospital. And our future goals are that we have routine testing in all ambulatory medical clinics in the hospital, that we expand this to inpatient testing so that all patients and inpatient can get a rapid test. We want routine testing in all private OBGYN offices, and we want to make sure that testing is offered in all invasive procedure units in the hospital. The funding streams are mixed. We have CDC funding, Ryan White Title I and Title IV. We've gotten support from the Pennsylvania Mid-Atlantic AETC and the Family Planning Council and Gilead Pharmaceutical Sciences. So I'd like to thank Shannon Criniti and Amy Hilly for helping me prepare this and being there to make these programs work, and the departments that we've interfaced with. Thank you very much.